welcome to the Horror Review, where we rate, analyze, and review our favorite horror movies, TV series, and subgenres. At the end of each episode, we'll also give a rating via our Scare-O-Meter. I'm Tasha.
And I'm Julia. And on today's bonus holiday episode, we are going to be continuing our 80s fever dream movie with a particularly fever dreamy one. This one is so strange. And yet...
weird, yep.
Yeah, it's weird. So we're going to be doing the 1989 fantasy comedy film, Little Monsters, which is starring Fred Savage, and I can't even say it with a straight face.
No,
it's starring Fred Savage and Howie Mandel, along with Ben Savage. Mm-hmm. It's, anyways.
It's a trip.
It's a trip. I remember watching this on, like, I don't know, like ABC Kids or like Family Channel. Like, this was like on often
on
when
TV.
I was a kid. It was on TV often. And it's weird. Howie Mandel is a blue monster.
Yeah.
A blue monster with like these.
But a blue punk monster?
Yeah, it's a blue punk monster. And he's got all these like weird blue like spots, mole things on him. And his teeth are weird. And
yeah, he's got one little skeleton earring hanging down.
And he's got his like little vest and
cut off
dangly ear. Yeah.
Yeah, he's very like.
Weird punk monster. Anyways, punk monster. Tash is going to take us away with a lovely little plot synopsis in case you haven't seen this amazing film. I personally enjoy this movie because I had seen it as a kid. Tash had never seen it before.
Well, no, I'd seen bits
and
of it.
And nor had Ashley. And Ashley is shaking her head right now.
Ashley is vehemently shaking her head. I'd seen bits of it because I remember the weird
monster.
Howie Mandel monster.
Yeah.
But it was...
Yeah. Anyways, this one is thanks to my partner, Jeff, who has been saying that we should do this movie for... months because it scared him as a child. Like it like scared him.
Jeff, this is for you.
Yeah.
All right. Brian Stevenson, an 11-year-old boy, and his family have just moved to suburban Boston, and he feels isolated in his new neighborhood. One morning, Brian finds himself blamed and wrongfully punished for several things that he did not do. Mm-hmm. Insisting on his innocence, he blames his 6-year-old brother, Eric, who claims to have seen a monster the night before. At school, Brian gets into a fight with bully Ronnie Coleman, who, by the way, is the bully from Home Alone, is the oldest
brother.
He,
like, literally,
with the tarantula. Buzz, thank you.
He's typecast as a, like, that kid just
that
looks like a bully.
He
looks
totally
like a bully.
Totally looks like a bully.
He looks like an 80s bully.
You just know. Punch him in the face.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that night, upon returning to Eric's room to sleep for a bet, Brian finds the room in shambles and sees the TV remote supernaturally slide and disappear under the bed. The next morning, Eric and his friend Todd find Brian on the living room couch and joke about Brian basically being a chicken and not being able to sleep the entire night in Eric's room, even though they paid him. Mm-hmm. So Brian bets Eric
double or nothing
to sleep in Eric's room.
Which, when you're a kid, that's a lot.
Oh, yeah, that is a lot. The next night, a determined Brian sets up booby traps with bits of his broken bike, mm-hmm. which was the... I'm like,
and he's, like, sawing, like, the bottom. He's, like...
Sir, why? Seriously?
Anyways, he was sawing the bottoms of the legs off of his bed.
Yeah, and then attaching, like, the...
Like, the hinges.
The hinges to the bed, and then the bike chain, and then the bike, like...
He had a whole contraption.
He's
very smart. It's, like, led to later that he is, like,
quite
intelligent with, like, the science-y mechanical things.
Yes.
He's got a future ahead of him as a mechanical engineer.
Yes, he apparently. And he also leaves Doritos as bait to attract the alleged monster, because who doesn't love Doritos? Brian succeeds in trapping the monster intruder, a blue-skinned humanoid named Maurice. Though initially scared, Brian soon discovers that he and Maurice share the same interests and befriends him. Brian also learns that sunlight causes the monsters to collapse into piles of clothes. Over several nights, Maurice shows him a fun time in the monster world beneath Eric's bed. Mm-hmm. It consists of every child's dream, all the junk food and video games available with no adult supervision. It also has innumerable staircases leading to the spaces beneath random children's beds, which is weird.
They can go anywhere in the world.
From which the monsters, for which the monsters cause trouble. Maurice and Brian have lots of fun making mischief in other people's homes. And Brian also befriends a girl named Kirsten at his school.
Kirsten's so cute.
She is very cute.
So cute.
However, at the same time, Brian also begins to notice Maurice's ways of causing mischief can go a little too far sometimes, as evidence when Maurice eats Kirsten's paper for a very important science project that she was working on.
For like a long time. Yeah. She's really working hard on that science project.
Causing her to get a grade of 0, which is awful.
A little harsh, but...
Brian also becomes disheartened when he believes that his parents may possibly get a divorce.
Yeah. Brian's going through a lot. Yeah, they've just moved to a new place and yeah.
One night, Maurice brings Brian along with several other monsters to the bedroom of an infant baby, intending to scare it. Finding this to be horribly cruel, Brian opens the bedroom door, exposing the hallway light to the baby's bedroom, but subsequently learns that he is also turning into a monster, as his body parts shrink when the lights hit him.
Just his hand at first.
Just his kind of hand and arm a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He escapes the house through the front door and walks through Todd's backyard, where Todd is sleeping in a treehouse.
Todd is Eric's best friend.
Yes.
Eric is his little brother.
Yes.
Yep.
Todd shines a flashlight on Brian, shrinking Brian's arm in the process. The concerned Brian saws off the legs of all the beds in his house.
To try and keep the monsters from coming in. Yep.
I mean, fair. Due to Maurice's failure to convert Brian, apparently all monsters are former children.
Mm-hmm.
Eric is kidnapped by the Snick, who is another much crueler monster.
He's like the big fat one.
Who has no neck.
No neck. No neck at all.
No neck. Anyways, he's kidnapped through the couch bed in the living room. The
pull-out couch, yeah.
The pull-out couch. Brian enlists help from Todd and Kirsten. Gathering an assortment of bright lights, they enter the monster universe looking for Eric, zapping various monsters along the way. They march to the master staircase where Boy, the ruler of the monster world, resides, who is gross, by the way.
When his face peels off, he's disgusting.
Well, his hands are all gross.
Yeah, his hands are gross, and you see like the back of his head is all nasty as well before his skin peels off.
Yeah. Boy offers to release Eric and Brian's friends if Brian agrees to convert, but Brian refuses. The bright lights are destroyed, and they are all placed with Maurice in a locked dungeon-type room. They manage to escape by turning Maurice into a pile of clothes via an improvised light and slide him through the door crack.
Very smart. Very ingenious.
Yeah. They rearm themselves with more powerful lights, recruit Ronnie
the bully.
Yeah, exactly. And venture back into the monster world, because who else would you need?
I don't know how they would have
recruited
Ronnie.
I'm not exactly sure.
But
he kind of just showed up, but...
Be like, sorry I turned your apple juice into pee.
Oh
come
God,
help
yes.
me free my brother from the monsters.
That was a weird scene.
It was horrible.
Uh-huh. They return to the boy's domain and are able to defeat him while Snick explodes into pieces.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Brian and his friends rescue Eric and are then blocked by Snick, who put himself back together and prevents them from escaping. They are then rescued by Maurice and defeat Snick with a literal flamethrower.
Yep. Don't know where they got a flamethrower.
Not sure. Unfortunately, Brian and the others find that they cannot return home because the sun has risen. Faced with the prospect of turning into monsters if they do not return to the human world by sunrise, the children travel in the monster world from the eastern time zone to Malibu, where the sun has not risen yet, and they manage to escape.
Like, just escape.
This is hilarious.
Yeah.
Before entering the human world, Brian shares a heartfelt goodbye with Maurice, who gives Brian his leather vest as a memento, promising to meet again with him someday. The kids run to a payphone, and Brian calls home to say that him and Eric are okay and in Malibu, and begins to explain their story to their parents as the movie ends, and then they go running towards the ocean.
Yep.
It's a wild ride.
I remember it. Okay, so in my child brain, the world they go into is like so much more magical than what it is now.
Oh,
it's
like a dung heap.
I know. It's like abysmal. And like every once in a while, there's just like some little sparkles that like flash across the screen.
It's magic.
It's magic down here.
Like, cool. You're
I remember
in an alley
it being
with magic.
So much cooler when I was a kid. Also, I think like because Maurice is like they're children who have turned into monsters. Mm-hmm. So I think like that attachment with Maurice was really. Just because I was a child.
Yes.
And like now he's just kind of like a really annoying. He's like way too over the top. But I remember loving that character when I was a kid.
But also I understand it because it's like the monster under your bed turns out to be like
a kid.
Kind of funny and a kid and your best friend. And it's that like.
Well, especially Brian's in a time where he's like in a new place. He's having a really hard time making friends in this new school, except for he's got a friend in Kirsten. So he should have explored that friendship a little bit more. But
But
anyways, he's having a hard time adjusting to this new this new city, this new school, and he befriends the monster under his bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who at times is slightly horrifying.
Yeah. Like, initially, does he not, like, do something weird? His eyeballs come straight out,
and you're like, holy crap. That scene,
like, really scared Jeff when he was a kid.
I don't blame him.
The eyeballs, like, shot out. He was like,
that's a little terrifying for a kid.
Yeah.
Also, there's a really gross scene when they go to visit Kirsten, where he, like, goes with his tongue. And I'm like, oh, no. That's, like, in front of a small girl. It's very strange, and I did not appreciate that. There were a couple.
There's definitely some, like, weird and uncomfortable.
There were some sexual hints references. At,
like, questionable adult, like, child behavior. Like, I know Maurice is not an adult, but he's clearly, like, more of a, I'd say, like, a teenager.
Yes.
Like, he maybe turned into a monster when he was, like, 15.
Yeah.
Or 16. That's kind of the vibe that I'm getting. And it's just, there's some, like, creepy, weird things.
There were some creepy vibes there that I did not love. But, again, 80s.
Oh, oh, the dad is also from Home Alone. It's, what's his, Marv. It's Marv from Home Alone.
I know, I saw it.
It took me half of the movie to be like, oh my God.
Oh no, like, right away, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Which is why I, like, didn't, I remember just when we were watching it the other day, I was like, I don't trust this dad at all. And then halfway through, I'm like, it's freaking Marv.
Like, how do you take this guy seriously? Yeah,
you can't. You can't.
All you can see is the imprint of the iron on his forehead.
Yeah, that's like, that is like literally all you can see the entire time. Yeah, pretty wonderful little other, just
a couple
funny movie couple
things there. Dropped I mean,
in there.
What year was Home Alone? Also 89 or 90?
Home Alone is 1990.
Okay, yeah, so it's a year later.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, there are a few uncomfortable things. Like, the monsters, like, joke about, like, self-pleasure at times,
they too. They totally did. There was a really uncomfortable
There's
joke
like
about
a few really uncomfortable.
And I was like, no. Why did you just put that in there?
I don't know. Yeah, there's some weird things. Like I said, I remember, like, really loving this movie as a kid. And, you know, whereas some of the other ones that we've talked about this month have held up, this one did not age well.
I agree.
It did not age like a monster.
No, it didn't.
Which, because they don't age.
Right.
You see what I'm doing there? Yep. This aged a lot.
Yes. Also, other podcast reference.
Yes.
Which I understand.
But yeah, definitely, weird, creepy, fever dream movie fully. And this one is definitely, I think, the most, like, kid movie oriented.
Yes, like that was
this one.
Weird thing.
This one felt more like a children's
that it
movie,
was actually
even though
kids.
There's like some really disturbing things. It does feel a lot more like a kids movie.
But it makes sense.
Yeah,
because in that time period, the kids movies did have those
weirder,
like little bits that they left in for adults, which were supposed to be funny. But later on, you're like,
some of these jokes just didn't. They just didn't hit.
No.
But it's still like creepy, and Maurice is like, even though he's friends with Brian, like, you there's just something like off about him right from the start. Mm-hmm. You just don't quite trust him, and then you find out that, like, oh, okay, you were once a child and you're trying to like recruit new monsters. But he didn't feel as malicious as some of the other monsters.
No, clearly not. Like,
he like clearly took a really snick. He clearly took like a true liking to Brian.
Yeah,
and, like he found a friend, like a real friend in each other. Yeah,
where he at the end wanted to help make sure that he didn't become one of them.
Exactly.
Clearly, that's not what he wanted. So, it was a little.
Yeah, I think he would have been totally fine with Brian becoming a monster, but he also wanted him to like want to be a monster.
Absolutely.
And the like the adults arguments in this movie are like so real, like the mom and dad fighting about like money and how like the dad's never there, and when he is, he's like not invested in the children, and like there's some like really real moments in this movie, like when they sit them down to like tell them they're gonna be going through like a separation, which is code for we're getting a divorce probably. Just really
I have
really
to say,
real.
I was really irritated by certain things at the very beginning, like when all the things started to move around and Brian was blamed for everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so this poor kid is like, you're making all this worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know it's like a whole Gremlins thing where like shit moves around and whatever. But then it was like, I don't know. I just found it all very irritating as an adult.
Yeah.
Because these are adult things that you don't. I don't know. The perspective is all off, but
well, it's like it's not going to be like the little 6-year-old, but it could potentially be like the 11-year-old who is Yeah, but also, like, let's not just keep blaming the kid for like stealing your remote control. No. And like, if your kid says he put his bike away, he probably put his bike away and didn't leave it right behind your car to get run over. He seems like a responsible kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for the fact that he eats peanut butter and onion sandwiches. That's disgusting. That was absolutely gross. Yeah. But yeah.
The other part that was really annoying was the, like, the mom is painting the whole living room and the dad is just sitting there
yelling at the TV.
Yelling at the TV, watching, like, eating chips, complaining that he doesn't have the remote. Yeah. Because he can't change the channels. And it's like, oh, I'm so sorry. She's like, yeah, that's cool. Do you see what we're doing here? Like, we just moved into a house, but okay.
Just speaking of Home Alone, like, Brian basically is Kevin McAllister with all his, like, booby traps and everything.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, he totally. Mm-hmm. I'm like, is this a theme? Like, were kids in the 80s just supposed to know all this shit?
Yes. My mom tells me, I mean, this wasn't even the 80s. She was a kid in the 60s.
Right.
But she tells me, like, crazy stories of, like, the neighborhood, like, kid wars that would happen. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, she would, like, her kids would, like, hide in bushes and throw, like, rocks at kids' bikes as they're pedaling by and try and get kids would get like, majorly injured. One time, my mom told me that she put dog poo in somebody's lunch kit. Like, the neighborhood bully's, like, lunch kit had, like, dog shit in it. Because, like, the week before, that kid had, like, thrown dog poop, like, at them. Yeah. It was a wild... Okay. You think the 80s were wild? The 60s were wild. They used to, when their neighbors were away on holiday... I'm giving away all of her childhood secrets. She's gonna kill me. When their neighbors were away on holiday, they, like, really didn't like these neighbor kids, they would take straws and, like, a bag of frozen peas and open the mail slot and just shoot frozen peas down their hallway so that when they got home a week later, there was just, like, moldy peas. Isn't that
wackadoodle?
Like, that's what my mom did for fun in the 60s.
She's
like a very together adult now, and sometimes when she tells me these stories, it brings me so much joy just imagining her packing, like, dog shit into some kid's lunch bag. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, kids did really do this kind of stuff.
All right, then. Yeah. Pre-internet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Should we scare-o-meter?
Yeah. Womp womp.
Two?
Two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a two.
It's a two. And jack-o'-lanterns.
You go first. I want to see what you think before I give you mine.
I'm going to give it a middle of the road. So a 2.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to give it a 3.
All right.
Yeah. I just, like, I remember liking it. Like I said, I remember being like that under the bed world used to feel so magical.
I totally get it.
But now it's just a couple little sparkles that float by on your screen. And you're just like, this is just like some janky ladders to nowhere.
Yep.
And it's like dark and there's nothing.
Janky ladders to nowhere. I love it.
Is that the title of the episode? Okay.
Yes.
That's what it is.
It's the best explanation.
Yeah.
Janky ladders to nowhere.
It's just a, yeah. And it doesn't even seem like when he's like, look, you can play video games like all night long. Like, it's cool. Not even that.
Where's your freaking couch? Like, what? Mm-hmm. Where are you sitting on the ground?
Yeah.
Like,
anyways, that's awesome. I went into this like really excited to watch it again. It's still just hilarious to see Howie Mandel play this like blue monster.
He is kooky.
He is very kooky. It's too much energy. Yeah. It's a lot of energy.
It is a lot. But it's it was fun for kids.
It was fun. So I'm giving it a 3.
Yeah.
Jeff said that he gave Howie Mandel directions once in Toronto when he like worked in Toronto.
Oh my God.
And like he was like obsessed with this movie. So he was like, yes, like here is where you go.
He did it there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
I know.
Aww, that's cute.
Yep.
Yeah. Ashley has a picture with Fred Savage.
Ben
Savage. Sorry, Ben Savage, not Fred Savage. The other one,
Corey. Yeah, apparently Fred Savage has had some like not good allegations against him.
Ooh.
Yeah, from as early as when he was 16 years old. They're all like alleged, but you know, the Me Too movement wasn't a thing back in the like late 90s when he was would have been 16.
That's brutal.
Yeah. Anyways, sorry to end it off on that note.
A little bit of a
dive
there, but that's
he was a very cute kid, though.
Yes,
and a big part of like my childhood too.
Of everyone,
like, the Princess Bride, and
yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. We've got one more.
One more.
One more
wacky
for you.
Wacky 80s
for the
fever dream.
Month of December.
Yep.
I hope you all had a safe and happy holiday. And we'll join you next week. If you enjoyed listening to us and would like to hear more, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you consume your podcasts from. If there's a particular theme, TV series, movie, or book that you want us to talk about, let us know. We would love to hear your feedback.
And you can follow us on Instagram at The Horror Review. We are also on Facebook. And remember to not confuse apple juice for urine.
Yes, that's
or the other way around.
Real difficult one.
Yeah. We'll see you next time.
Bye.